is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for DFS slates, FanDuel, DraftKings, coming your way with the waning moments, the setting sun, the NBA season here. We are ending, we're not ending March. I guess there's still 3 days in March, right? But we are narrowing down the playoff fields here. We are approaching the playoffs. We are approaching opening day, which is actually for baseball, which actually makes basketball season feel like it's almost closer to over because opening day is happening here. Tomorrow? It's been interesting. Last night, the LeBron bust was unexpected. LaMarcus Aldridge injury was not my favorite thing in the world to happen, but I did have some Damian Lillard. That worked out okay. The old, I'm going to score 41 points and then I'm going to go have a baby night. That's you know, like I'm going to meet my firstborn child. That would be an interesting and fun experience to be able to have. I think I would have fun doing that, right? Score 41 points and then meet your firstborn. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Good for him. We have an 8-gamer this evening, though. This should be a good one. There's some fun games here to watch. Some interesting games with some playoff type implications. I mean, everything Minnesota touches is, the bottom of that Western Conference. Everything the Clippers and the Wolves touch has playoffs implications. And Denver lost again last night, so the Wolves can breathe a sigh of relief. And that is by far and away the most interesting playoff race right there, those two teams, no doubt about it. But a couple tankathons as well. Dallas back in action. The Lakers will be back home. Atlanta has literally a G League team almost. And the Suns are playing, so that's good. Before we get into tonight, though, quick plug. One, in your podcast feed, PGA DFS, Shell Houston Open this weekend. We have Mike did his show there with a guest. Appreciate that. Mike always coming on strong for those PGA podcasts. Alex is out of town. So if you're used to the sweet, sweet analysis of Alex Remezowski, the man is taking a little vacay. So give him a break, huh? Now, as for MLB stuff, I know we continue to get questions. One, I'm going to continue to do NBA breakdowns until the end of the NBA regular season. However, patreon.com/lineuplogic, Ryan is going to start to get some cheat sheet content with Mike Alexander, who's going to be joining us during baseball season this year. Roto Juan, you guys know him from football. Mike is going to join him for baseball season. So we're going to start to do some premium stuff for patrons right off the get-go. Also, later today, there is an MLB DFS primer for 2018. It's not a breakdown, but it's a tutorial. Mike Alexander got on the mic last night pulling double duty, man. He sends the golf pod and the MLB DFS primer a tutorial. A refresher course, an audio refresher course, everything from pitcher selection to the differences in scoring on site, key stats, the glossary of terms that you need to be aware of. So take a listen to that at any point during the MLB season. It should be an excellent episode. The MLB DFS primer, look for that later this evening. I will definitely post it, and you should see that coming your way. But let's take a look at this 8-game slate tonight, figure out what Vegas has to say about it, look at the injuries, etc., and then we'll get into the player breakdown. Okay, so first game of the night is the Brooklyn Nets at the Orlando Magic. Man. One of my favorite things, by the way, to judge a game, one of the best things to do is if you go to the ESPN.com schedule tab, they have a link to the SeatGeek, like a SeatGeek link. And what it does is it'll give you a direct link to how many tickets and what price they are available. There, you can get into an Orlando Magic game. You could probably bring the whole family to an Orlando Magic game for less than $20. Just in the door. Now, obviously, concessions once you get there. But listen, if you're like me, you're going to bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or everybody's going to be eating peanut butter and jellies in the car on the way in. Right? I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. The Kane family will literally pack 10 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches everywhere we go. That's just how we roll. Like, it's not because we're cheap. It's just, I mean, sometimes, yeah. But I just love peanut butter and jelly, and everybody in the family, the kids, my wife, everybody. Like, airports, peanut butter and jelly. Car trips, peanut butter and jelly. We just slam peanut butter and jelly in this house. So, yeah, to bring 10 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to the Orlando Magic game in $20, you're getting the whole fam in there. I don't know if we have any listeners in O-Town. But Brooklyn is going down to visit. They are two-point favorites in a 216 total, and I like this game. I'm interested in this game. We have an interesting rotation right now. The Magic side of things, Wes Nwundu looks like he's going to be starting. He's been playing a little bit more. DJ Augustine obviously getting the majority of the minutes at the point guard position. Shelvin Mack kind of playing a swing guard type role behind him. But John Simmons not going to play. John Isaac probably not going to play. So those two are out, which has cleared up a lot of good run for your boy Super Mario and Wes Nwundu, who's been getting anywhere between 15 to 30 minutes. It's not good. It's not a good idea to play Wes Nwundu. I think what it is it's clear that he's going to share some responsibility with Shelvin Mack. If I'm going anywhere in this game, obviously Aaron Gordon, nice little bounce back against Phoenix. Brooklyn isn't Phoenix as far as the four is concerned. We, you know, remember he dropped like a 50 burger on them earlier this year. But I would expect a much more tame performance from Gordon. If I'm going anywhere, I'm going to the Vooch monster. Vooch has been getting 30 minutes in certain games, not the blowout that they had in Philadelphia, but 30 minutes in most of the other games. And this is a smash spot for the center. So Nikola, I'm all over that. I love that spot. On the Brooklyn side of things, I love Brooklyn here too. I mean, Brooklyn, you know, they've been good. They've been tough. I mean, you know, it's, you know, they're not going to win games, but they keep in it. They create fantasy value. And, you know, they are who you think they are. Like, we know who's who on this team and what we should expect from them and their roles. So I'm interested in D'Angelo a little bit, Caris LeVert a little bit, Joe Harris not as much. Damari Carroll is interesting as well. I mean, when you understand this team, there's a lot of pieces that you feel comfortable with. Strangely enough, RHJ might be one of those guys as well, underowned, overlooked. The pricing on some of these Brooklyn characters, though, is a little bit meh, right? I mean, you're paying a little bit much for D'Angelo Russell at 7,200. Don't know how I feel about that. Don't know how I feel about, where is the pricing on? Where is he? Damari Carroll, 56. That's the right price. Okay, sorry. That I blacked out for a second. I didn't actually black out. I just couldn't find it. all right. So, yeah, this is a fun game. I like this game. It seems like a dumpster fire, but it's not. This game is interesting to me. The Knicks versus the 76ers. This one is a 221 total. 76ers favored by 13 at home. Trey Burke scores 52. Let's expect Trey Burke to go back down to earth and regress back to normalcy, by the way. Okay. If you want to chase Burke into the Philadelphia, go for it. You're going to probably lose money. His price is way up. He's $6,200. Emmanuel Mudiay is questionable. That makes the minutes really appealing, but the 76ers point guard matchup has never been a good one. I'm not that interested in going to Trey Burke after every, you know, like a price elevation and a career best in scoring. He's not going to score 42 points again, guys. I'm sorry. I do, however, have some interest in Mike Beasley and Tim Hardaway at the three here. We want to attack that spot a little bit. Shooting guard, want to attack that spot. We've seen some production there. The Knicks are probably going to lose easily, and the 76ers have every reason to say, let's get this over with quickly and let's not play the fourth quarter starter. So this one is a tough one to gauge. You want to like some of these guys because the way the Knicks defense has been just terrible, but I just can't necessarily say that it's a good idea to play high price Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, even Dario losing some minutes to just the rotation. Bob Cove is the one guy that I think you could get to. Cleveland at Charlotte, no total just yet in this one. Probably the Kevin Love news is what's going to be keeping this total from getting to us. Of course, he got smashed with an elbow in the teeth. I don't know if he lost a tooth or not. I think he lost a tooth, and he's got concussion symptoms. With the way the concussion protocol has gone, he had concussion symptoms at halftime. With the way concussion protocol has gone, I see a 99% chance that Kevin Love sits this one out, okay? Which makes it a little bit closer, but of course LeBron has smashed Charlotte before. They can't guard the three. He struggled last night. Why? Miami has one of the best team defenses in the NBA. So we're going straight back to LeBron, no problem. Don't even worry about it. I have no issues going right back there. On the Charlotte side of things, Nick Batum is back. Okay. If you get no Kevin Love, what do you do, Dwight? I'm not paying that much for Kemba Walker. I don't know. Not a lot to love. 8-game slate. There's other places you can go. Atlanta at Minnesota. No total here. And I don't know why that is. I'm not completely sure. There's no major injury news. Dennis Schroeder is going to be out with an ankle injury, or maybe it's just that legal case. They just leveled felony battery charges for getting in a fight outside of a club. I guess there's a video of him starting the fight. Yikes. He is, he just doesn't look that scary, right? Am I wrong? Isaiah Taylor is going to play a ton at the point guard position because you still have Malcolm Delaney out. You also have Tyler Dorsey is going to play a ton, and Damian Lee. So those are your three guards, basically. That's it. That is pretty much all you have in that guard rotation that is of any worth. There's a couple minutes here and there for some randos, but that's going to be the majority of what you get. Tyler Dorsey, Damian Lee, and Isaiah Taylor. And those three guys are going to have to play the one and the two, more or less, the whole time. So definitely some value that you can exploit there. Minnesota desperately needs this win after losing to the fucking Grizzlies, which is just a disgrace. Jeff Teague played 42 minutes. I knew he was going to be a good play. 42 minutes. Wiggins played 43. I'm not kidding, by the way. 43. Taj played 43. Towns played 40. Someone needs to have a sit down with Tibbs because he's out Tibbsing himself. We need to talk, Tibbs. And it probably should be his employer. I like the Minnesota from a fantasy perspective. I like it. I'm interested. Get me involved. I have no problem going to these guys here. They had a night off. They're still at home. I think you could definitely look at Jeff Teague. You can absolutely look at Wiggins here. You can absolutely look at, and I think we could go back to Bielitsa, strangely enough, even though he did not play well in that game and got sat down for Jamal Crawford, who went 3-for-12 from the field. I think you go back to Bielitsa here. The three has been a spot that we can attack. That's kind of my thinking there. I'm not really sure why they didn't play him in that game, but he had a nice price drop, so that's good. Portland at Memphis. Dame will go back home to see the baby or be with the wife because I think, you know, he's just nervous, man. That is nerve-wracking. A week late, when mom is a week late, you're kind of like, okay, like, I'm supposed to be on paternity leave. I don't know if Damian Lillard, though, doesn't get paternity leave, does he? No. He gets the summer. It's not like paternity leave is actually any good in this country anyway. A friend who lives in Denmark, it's like you get like a year off. Like, what? You don't have to go to work for a year? He's like, no, man. Paternity in Denmark's really good. I'm like, fuck you in Denmark. You're from Long Island, Denmark. Married a hot woman from over there. Anyway, that's enough about him. He's not listening. Great guy, but he's not listening. He's like, you know, on like a river canal on a bicycle with his children. enjoying his European lifestyle. Portland and Memphis. Shabazz Napier, 100% exposure for all parties, obviously, right? I mean, he's a good backup point guard. He's a viable scorer. He's min price. Damian Lillard's not going to be there. He's going to play like 30 minutes. Yeah, Shabazz, dude. Baz it up. No issue with Shabazz whatsoever. When Damian Lillard has missed games this year, according to Fantasy 5x5, Baz averages 36, and the matchup against the Grizzlies could not be better. I love it. Boom, 100% of your lineup. Set it now. Do it. CJ should be good too. He has had a nice bump when Lillard is off the court. I would expect Nurkic to take his minutes back after a big night last night as far as run. I don't really see him getting quite as much run tonight against Marc Gasol. It's not a good matchup either, so I'm staying away from that. On the Memphis side of things, Andrew Harrison, we're looking for his news. We need to find out if Andrew Harrison's going to play because Tyreek is still out. He's going to probably continue to be away from the team with his personal issue. And Harrison has been playing like 35 minutes. You know, mixed results, but he's going to play, right? And so he's been in consideration. Don't go chasing waterfalls. And by waterfalls, I mean Wayne Selden, you know, okay? Josh, yes, Josh, you're right. I think Montrezl Harrell is going to have a big game. He's right. Montrezl Harrell's going to have a huge game. I love Montrezl Harrell tonight. He's like the David West of the Clippers. And by David West of the Clippers, what I mean is he comes off the bench and he tries to score on every single possession and he does it and he blocks a couple shots. And then all of a sudden he's got 15 fantasy points and it's been like 3 minutes. Portland, you can go to a lot of pieces here. The other news, sorry, that we have to keep an eye on Portland. Mo Harkless ruled out last night, which put a whole lot of Evan Turner out there. We'll see if Mo Harkless is there tonight. It could have been a rest thing. It could have been a more serious knee issue. I'm not really sure, but it's kind of nice to have these guys rotate because when they actually get 30 minutes each, they're a little bit more viable from a fantasy perspective. You can get them over 20 fantasy points. So keep your eye on the Mo Harkless Evan Turner saga there. That's definitely interesting to me. Boston at the Jazz, a 193 total here. And this game is actually going to be interesting here. Boston is a 7-point road dog. The Jazz are unstoppable. I'm going to use that word. I am going to be a Western Conference Jazz fan. No doubt about it. When the playoffs come, I love it. Donnie Mitch is an animal. 44 minutes against the Spurs, 51 fantasy points, 36 attempts. Wow. You know, it's been really interesting, and they beat the Warriors the other night too. The rotations are somewhat hard to predict, but a little, the production, I guess, is what's hard to predict. I think it's a good spot to go back to Rudy Gobert. That's my inclination here against the Jazz. Obviously, Boston doesn't grade out as a good matchup for anybody. But when you consider that this game is going to be competitive, I think that this is a very interesting spot. Now, on the Boston side of things, the only real place you want to attack this team is in the backcourt. And I worry a little bit about Scary Terry's upside with his inefficiencies and the way that he's played against like decent defenses, like Portland, for example. 28 fantasy points, not that great, right? You know, now with Jaylen Brown back in the lineup, a little bit less usage. So there's a little bit of concern with me there. I think I'm okay walking away from Boston, but the Utah side of things at home, they're hot. There's some spots that I may think that are a little sneaky there. Clippers are playing the Suns, so all of them are in play. Milos Teodosic, she's got a foot, plantar fascia. My mom has that. So that's something that my mom and Milos Teodosic have in common, which is cool. Which also always makes me think of like the things that Milos Teodosic might be doing that also a 60-year-old woman does for her feet. Like, it's not the same training regimen, but that's the only thing. When he's like plantar fashion, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. You got to get those special, like clogs, those mom clogs. Should get those clogs. There's some nice decorative ones down at the store, at the mall, the walking store. Talk to my mom. Anyway, Milos has a foot. He's not going to play. If you have to leave the game, you can't play in the second half. You're not going to play. Feet injuries are like that, right? It's just not going to be a thing. So what is going to happen here? We're going to get plenty of Austin Rivers. You're going to get plenty of Lou Williams. You're probably going to get plenty of Tyrone Wallace and Sindarius Thornwell. Sindarius Thornwell, one of the greatest names in the NBA, modern NBA right now. Sindarius Thornwell has been playing behind Wesley Johnson at the three a little bit. They've kind of been doing a splitsies thing there with the wings. Gallo not going to play. He was supposed to be out for another week or so. He'll probably return next week, early next week. If I'm going to anyone to try and replace the Milos value, it's probably Austin Rivers and then maybe Tyrone Wallace. If you remember, Tyrone Wallace, right before he came back to the team, had a monster night against Phoenix. He played 36 minutes randomly to kind of give some guys some rest, and he put up 32 fantasy points. There's no way that the Clips, I mean, they just had a nice game against Milwaukee. There's no way that they don't, you know, easily take control of this game, in my mind. Tobias Harris had a huge game there too, so you can go back to Tobias, no doubt. And DeAndre Jordan's price went down for some reason. On the Suns side of things, don't play Elfrid Payton. Everybody's been tricked into the price here because he's not playing. They're not doing anything developmental with him. He's not going to play more than 20 minutes. Let's not do that. Forget it. It's out. It's over. We're not playing Elfrid Payton until maybe never again. Who knows? Tyler Ulis, you can chase him all you want. I don't know. You know, I mean, he's not that good. He's going to play probably 20 to 30 minutes, but the minutes could be a problem. Troy Daniels is interesting because you're probably not going to get Devin Booker. You're probably not going to have TJ Warren. Of course, that means Josh Jackson chalk. The one thing I want to find out is whether or not Alex Len is going to play. If he doesn't play, then you're going to have a whole lot of Dragon Bender and Marquise Chris. Dragon Bender, this is the first thing I said to Ryan and Josh this morning. Dragon Bender has made 3 field goals on his last 18 attempts across 3 contests and 90 minutes of playing time. That is 1 field goal every 30 minutes, every game. He's not that good. And he has this weird eyebrow raise in his picture that just kind of makes you, he might be a double agent. just weird, but like a self-aware double agent who kind of wants people to know, like, I'm creepy. Like, look at my fake name. It's a pseudonym, Dragon Bender. Nobody expects it. Yeah, Dragon Bender, double agent. I'm not playing him. Fuck that guy. Dallas at LA. No total here. Don't know why. LA, everybody has to play Tibbs minutes, so go back to him. Lonzo. Brandon Ingram is questionable. That would kind of throw a wrench in the plans, wouldn't it? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 40 minutes. Lonzo, or 38 minutes. Lonzo, 43 minutes. Kyle Kuzma, 41 minutes. Julius Randle, 32 minutes. They actually have some front court support for Randle and Lopez, who have been really, really good. Now, I love all of these guys. The Brandon Ingram news, please do not play Brandon Ingram. Just wait. Just wait one more game. Let's just do this one Dallas game. Not tonight. Don't play. We'll play all these guys again. I love the Lakers at home here with all the minutes that they've been getting. The pricing is a little bit more expensive, you know, especially on Randall and Lonzo. But I still want to go here. It's a plus matchup for those guys. On the Dallas side, they're doing like a platoon thing where who do you love? They trade out the big men. So I think they're going to go like one in, one out, like Nerlens for Dwight Powell back, you know, let them play and get some rhythm. I don't know if they're going to continue it. That's what they're doing tonight, right? They let one rest and the other play. So we should see Dwight Powell did not play last night. Nerlens did not play last night. So they will probably play. While Saul Mejuri and Maxi Kleber played last night, and they will probably rest. I mean, can you? There was 48 minutes of Saul Mejuri and Maxi Kleber versus Kosta Koufos last night. That is NBA quality. That, my friends, is what the viewers are here for. That's what the protesters were protesting. It has zero to do with the police. It was the fact that they were going to make Saul Mejuri and Kosta Koufos play against each other, and everyone had to watch who was in it. That was what the protests were about. I'm not sure if you guys caught that news story. Dennis Smith Jr. only played 24 minutes last night. That is interesting to me. Because I think they're setting him up to play some more tonight. We'll see. Hopefully J.J. Barea continues to be out. I would love 30 minutes of Dennis Smith Jr. against this team. Fast-paced situation seems like a lot of fun. Harrison Barnes is going to be the one guy that continues to play a whole lot. So some value here. Definitely some spots that you can go to on the Dallas side. Not as much love for them as I do for the Lakers. It's a little bit harder to project, but Nerlens is definitely in play. All right, let's go over to the player breakdown and figure out who we love. All right, starting at the top of the slate, you have two high-priced point guards here that are the same exact price. That is Lonzo Ball and Kemba Walker. Lonzo, we just talked about this a little bit. He has Dallas at home here. He is 8,600 on the night. Over 40 minutes in three of the last five games. He has been over 35 fantasy points in four of the last five. With no one else behind him, Lonzo is just playing a ton. And listen, we've talked about this before. The peripherals are there. If he can score, he's going to put up a massive number. If he is going to score more than 10 points, and let's look at this, let's see what we get here. If he is going to score more than 10 points, you are going to get over. If he scores 15 points, you will get 45 like fantasy points. Like that is a clear delineation, which is ridiculous. Like, you know, if this kid can score, he's going to do it all. Double digit assists in two of the last five, double digit rebounds against the Pelicans. The steals are there. He's had seven steals in the last five games and three blocks It's definitely going to be another, night where he is going to stuff the stat sheet. They played back to back. They didn't play back to back. It just happened that the injuries, wow, that's really weird. The injuries lined up for Lonzo is such that he played his last game before that knee issue against the Mavs and then the first game back against the Mavs. In both situations, in the most recent one, he had 1.4 fantasy points per minute across 17 minutes of play. So, you know what you're going to get. There's a high ceiling here because of the peripherals. You just need him to score. I think he is interesting, no doubt about it. Kemba Walker at home here. We've seen some big numbers from Kemba here. We've seen the minutes be there. I think this is a good spot, but the way that Goran Dragic played last night, and I'm sorry, I don't know what happened there. I have no way except for to say I'm sorry. I thought Goran was going to be a nice floor play. I recommended him, and it just total disaster. And I am deeply apologetic for that terrible take. The take that worked out terribly. Cleveland, not a great spot for the point guard, right? You're going to get George Hill. Kemba, this isn't the same. It's hard to measure previous performance against Cleveland for Kemba Walker here just because we have seen 35 fantasy points from him earlier in the season twice. That's not going to get it done at 8,600. I'm not going to lie. 35 fantasy points seems like the right outcome here in this situation across 34 minutes. George Hill has been good. We've seen him blow up the Grizzlies. He had a really nice game against the 76ers, which is a little bit of an outlier. You know, he did have three steals in that game. The matchups recently have been really, really good. I like the total and I like that he's at home. I just don't necessarily know that you want to pay for this. I would probably rather pay for Lonzo's 45 minutes against the Mavs, which has been a good, not a great matchup, but like Kemba just had 36 against them. The other thing is there's a lot of value at point guard, so there's not a ton of reason to pay for these two guys, but I think I prefer Lonzo at the end of the night, just personally. I'm not really, yeah. Shooting guard, nobody. LeBron at small forward, of course, he has the worst game of the season last night. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I can't, if I could fix it, I would, but I can't. LeBron 12-5, 11-6 on DK. I don't know what the numbers are all there. 38 minutes last night, 38 minutes against Brooklyn. The attempts were there. He doesn't, Miami is a team that's not going to allow you a ton of assisted field goals. They're not going to allow you a ton of rebounds, and they don't turn the ball over. So you don't get any steals or blocks. And all of a sudden you go from 1.8 fantasy points per minute to 0.8 fantasy points per minute. And they only allowed him to score 18 points. So they clearly were closing out on the three. They weren't allowing him to get the three, which has been, part of the reason why he's been scoring a lot lately. The usage was there. The minutes were there. Everything else was there. It just wasn't a good fantasy night for Bronny. Against Charlotte previously, he's had some big nights. I remember last year he had a nice triple-double in this spot. He had a triple-double here earlier this year. So he's had 56 and 71 against Charlotte. The 71 burger was, that was a triple-double, 27, 16, and 13. And he's done a triple-double against Charlotte a couple different times. Yeah, I'm interested. The bounce-back spot here, they get the win, they go on the road. A frustrating loss to Miami doesn't concern me. I think this is a good spot for them to get after it. And they're not good enough to blow teams out. They're just not that. They're not that team. They don't have that identity. So I don't really see a path to a blowout. I think LeBron here has a nice one. At power forward, Ben Simmons. I love Ben Simmons. I just don't necessarily know that you need to or should pay for him on this slate. 9,800 here. Against the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks are a great matchup, okay? Against the point guard. We've seen, there is zero situation in my mind where a combination of Michael Beasley and Trey Burke can guard Ben Simmons. Okay. Call me crazy. This is grading out, though, as an average matchup, an above average to average matchup for Philadelphia on this season. And Simmons has had, you know, a couple decent games against this Knicks team. 41 fantasy points across 30 minutes here just the other night, a week ago, when, you know, the Knicks basically, they beat them, they're beating them, and then they had to come back. He had 42 earlier in February. 1.4 fantasy points per minute against them in both situations. I think it's just hard for me, 1.25 and 1.4. It's just hard for me to like the potential for a ceiling here if there is a possibility that they blow them out. Like we saw the Magic in the Memphis game, you know, and listen, they're not going to let them play them close again. They've played them close a couple times this year. I have a feeling if Philadelphia says, listen, we're ready for you guys, we're not going to necessarily let you blow us out. He had a triple-double against them. I think it's an interesting way to be different. I don't think a lot of people will play Ben Simmons, but do I think you get a 50-burger here? I don't know. I don't know if you do. You know, you need the competition. You need the triple-double from him. I don't know if you get a 50-burger. Moving over to the center, I think there are some 50-burgers here to be had, and Karl Anthony Towns is a priority for me. I really like him here tonight. I he's at home, tough loss, to Memphis. It was a tough game for him, and it is a tough game to play against, Marc Gasol. He's 10-8 on FD, 9-5 on DK. I like that price on DK specifically. You know, there's not a lot differentiating him from some of the other high price guys like Rudy Gobert, though, by the way. That's a really good price on DK, 7-7, cheaper than Nikola Vucevic. That's the only issue that I have with Towns is that the build doesn't necessarily accommodate him because there's other good centers that are just a little bit cheaper. However, if you can find the money, if you're going a little bit more balanced in your tournament exposures, I think that Karl Anthony Towns should be a priority, a high priority. He is going to get the second best efficiency plus minus on the slate to Atlanta. It's funny. Not necessarily a FanDuel plus minus, but it is an efficiency plus minus. So you should see a lot of production to the center here for Karl Anthony Towns. The usage has been there. He has struggled to score in the last two games. Why? Well, Joel Embiid is basically the best defensive center in the league, and Marc Gasol has basically held down other opposing centers from a fantasy perspective in all those games. If you look at the plus matchups he's had previously, he had the Clippers, he had the Knicks. Both of those are solid matchups, 55 in both of those games. I see a path to 50 points here for Karl Anthony Towns, no doubt about it. He had 41 against this team earlier this year in January, 1.28 fantasy points per minute across 32 minutes. They lost that game, of course, because this team is so good at losing to bad teams. I just don't see it happening again. And if he does start to happen and he's going to play 75 minutes and then you're going to get fantasy value from that. Listen, you don't have to ethically be concerned with the way the Wolves are operating right now in order to appreciate the fantasy value that they're going to bring. That's what I'm going to say about that. Okay. However, deeply, deeply intrigued by Rudy Gobert in this situation. He's just not properly priced. The matchup with Boston, yes, not great. Okay, fine. I don't care. He is inexpensive, and he is so good. And double-digit rebounds in three of the last five games. He's averaging 1.1 fantasy points per minute on the season in the last five. But he's had this ceiling type situations where he has flirted with 50 in games when he plays 30 plus minutes. You're going to struggle with the Spurs, right? Fine. Decent matchups, though, you know, the Warriors, for example, 50 fantasy points. I just see a floor of 40 here for him against Boston from the rebounding perspective. From a rim protection perspective, I think that this is a good situation for Rudy Gobert. There's not a ton of metrics that I can necessarily point to beyond. I think this is the price, which is he's just inexpensive. And I think you're going to get a competitive game here, which is part of the reason why I like him. All right, let's move over to the Grout, 9K and below, players in that mid-range that you're going to need in your lineups. All right, let's look at the point guard position, which is pretty deep. And, you know, especially when you consider the fact that everyone is going to play Shabazz Napier. You only get really one extra point guard, which kind of doesn't, you know, I don't love that. I like picking point guards. I think it's one of my favorite positions to pick. I like the depth. I like the pricing flexibility. You know, Jeff Teague versus Atlanta, though, has to pop for you. The matchup versus Atlanta has yielded some massive, massive games of late, according to Fantasy 5x5. It is it's not even top 10 because of all the Suns best spots. But it is a good spot to attack the point guard at Atlanta. We have seen some big games to that position of late. You know, Dennis Schroeder was really kind of part of the problem. But I'm not gonna say that Isaiah Taylor is necessarily part of the solution. Okay, I think at a minimum you're going to see some season type averages for teams here. And Jeff Teague, if he's going to play, 42 minutes again, 35 minutes in general, I really like Teague in this situation. He's been at about a fantasy point per minute at 7,400. You're looking, you know, for 40 potential minutes, you could get 40 fantasy points. It's exactly what he did against Memphis, exactly a fantasy point per minute, you know, 42 minutes, boom, 41. So he put up 30 here across 30 minutes last time out. Zero issue with Jeff Teague and his price, especially when you consider the amount of minutes that he is going to play. Now, Dennis Smith Jr., very interesting to me. He got a little bit of rest last night against Sacramento, 24 minutes. But that was kind of an outlier, right? They have played him 24 minutes on one side of the back-to-back just to kind of keep him fresh. They did it earlier this week. And, you know, they have Devin Harris, who's a competent backup behind him. So you have to think that he goes out there and he plays a full 32 minutes. Now, he has been very similar to Jeff Teague at about a fantasy point per minute on the season and in the last five and in his matchups with the Lakers, 0.93 and one fantasy point per minute. Now, the thing about the Lakers matchup is that it's actually been a really good spot to attack the point guard position against the Lakers in the last couple. We have seen some big games. In fact, three of the last 10 have been big games, according to 5x5's big game metric. And we saw, you know, stuff like 35 from Goran Dragic, 37 from Darren Collison. We saw 29 from Reggie Jackson across limited minutes. You got to like Dennis Smith here. I think it's a very clear floor for him to get to 30 fantasy points and get to his average numbers at about a fantasy point per minute. Lonzo's defense seems, I don't know if it's fallen off or if it's just the fact that he has to play 50 minutes a game, but it's not necessarily creating a ton of value from a fantasy perspective, or it is creating a ton of value for opposition from a fantasy perspective. So definitely could get interested in Dennis Smith Jr. In this one. He's a guy that I think will probably go overlooked, if only because we have so much value, right? And he's not going to pop in models. He's going to be projected for, you know, 4.6x. Give me a break. The difference between 4.6 and 7, or excuse me, 5x at that point is like literally 4 points. So who cares? I think he's a good play. At the shooting guard, obviously Lou. I mean, Lou Williams, you know what? This isn't hard, guys. He's playing the Suns. And he scored 41 against them last time. Now, that was the Devin Booker Suns. This is not the Devin Booker Suns. This is the Troy Daniels Suns. It's a new era. A new sun has risen. You could obviously see a massive blowout here. And last time out, one of the games out here in December, they played this team, beat them by 20. He played 20 minutes, 28 minutes, scored 20 fantasy points. So that is a weird situation. You're paying for an elite scorer in an elite position with a potential blowout. We saw it from the, you know, the Celtics guys the other night. But Tatum had a nice game. I mean, but this Clippers team is arguably more healthy than Celtics. I mean, they are more healthy than that Celtics team. It's not really, that's the concern. And he's chalky. So I think it's an easy fade if you're playing tournaments to get away from Lou Williams. But it's also a very hard fade in cash because I think you're going to see a guy who gets extra run with Teja Dosic out. He might start at the two. And he's 7,800, 82 on DK. It's a very reasonable price. So that is where I'm at with Lou. Obviously makes a whole lot of sense to go there. Is he a must-have? I think that that's up to your judgment and how the rest of your roster shakes out. Want to talk about Andrew Wiggins. You know, 7K, he's going to be a fantasy point per minute. He's going to play, you know, a million minutes here. The matchup with Atlanta is a good one on the wing ever since that we have seen what's his name? Not Schroeder, the other one. Kent Bazemore go down. Kent Bazemore go down. It has been a better matchup on the wing here against Atlanta. You know, in the last 10 games in that stretch, it's been a plus two fantasy boost, 8% above average. Guys are hitting their numbers basically against Damian Lee, no doubt about it. Nick Young had 27. Eric Gordon had 34. Donnie Mitch had 37. You know, I think it's a pretty good comp there to look towards those guys and feel comfortable to say that Wiggins has a 35 point floor here at a reasonable price. And I don't think he gets played. I mean, he's not a guy that has a lot of ceiling. And that way, I think people kind of avoid him or they just kind of gloss over him, but the minutes are there. The production is there. The matchup is fine. The only other guys that, you know, you could look at here are KCP, obviously at 6,300, whether or not Ingram plays, I think that affects the numbers for KCP. You know, on the wing, it's not a bad matchup. It's not a great matchup. But CJ McCollum as well, right? 7,800 here, 75 on DK. It's a nice price for him there. He's going to play quite a bit with Damian Lillard out. And, you know, he struggled last night. That's Jrue Holiday. I mean, Jrue Holiday is a very good defender, and Damian Lillard was hot. And these guys can trade responsibilities every once in a while, and they know how to defer to each other. McCollum's going to get a nice 4% usage bump. He is going to averages 38 when CJ doesn't play, when Dame doesn't play. And, you know, as far as shooting guards versus Memphis, it's been a decent spot to attack. You want to attack them in the wings. You want to attack them, you know, you've seen some decent production from guys against Dylan Brooks. Jeremy Lamb had a decent game. Andrew Wiggins just had 34 last night. We saw Zach LaVine have a nice 34. Alan Crabb had 30. So, I mean, there's definitely some stuff to like here. It's not a perfect situation because Memphis plays a pretty slow pace, but I think you could definitely look at CJ McCollum here as a safe high floor type play, coming off the back to back. You know, I mean, he played a lot of minutes, but he didn't necessarily play particularly well. He shot 3 from 19 from the field. That's the problem, right? If he doesn't hit, he's going to hurt you. And I just the defense in Memphis doesn't necessarily scare me. So I think I'm okay going to this spot. He had 30 against them earlier this year and 47 in one spot at home. Way earlier and all the way back in November. So McCollum should be an interesting spot. I think he'll be popular too. I think he'll see him above 25% ownership easily. Small forward is a little bit rough again tonight. Not a ton that I love, but I think you can absolutely look at Robert Covington. I hate to say that. Bob Cove is not a guy that I get right very often. So if you're saying, if you don't like Bob Cove like me, but the floor is very nice at 6K, at 6K, he's been productive of late. He's contributing more than just points. We know the points are really the bugaboo for him. You know, against the Knicks, he had 31 in this spot. And the reason that you like this, the matchup here is, and 26, by the way, in the other matchup, because they just had two recent games. This has been a great matchup for small forward. I mean, this is the second best matchup on the slate for the small forward. So you have to look at Bob Cove here in a plus matchup here at a reasonable price at 6K. If he falls into your lineup, if you need a 6K player, I think he is a good way to go. But you know who has the best matchup on the slate? That's Nemanja Bjelica. The strange thing is that he is, in the last two games, he's only had 8 fantasy points. But you put him in a plus situation against New York, for example, he had 35 across 37 minutes. You have to think that maybe he gets another shot here against Atlanta. At even 22 minutes in the best potential matchup on the slate, 25 to 27 minutes, I think you could talk me into Bjelica at 5,600. I think people may say, ah, let me go to Mario Hezonja. And, you know, Hezonja's fine against Brooklyn. I like the spot, but you don't really want to attack the wings here. And Hezonja can struggle. I think I'd rather go to Damari Carroll at that price point. So Damari Carroll is always a guy that I, you know, reliably turn to in that price range. And I think you could go back to him in this spot as well. Of course, sorry, I forgot to mention this. Josh Jackson. Yes, Josh Jackson for sure. He's going to play 38 minutes. He's going to have the highest usage rate on that team. He's going to be doing it just like he has again and again and again. And he's still not priced above where he should be. I think I'll start to really think about it when he gets to about 7,800, 7,900. That's when I'm going to be like, okay. But don't mind the matchup with the Clippers. Jackson has been really productive, obviously. And Torian Prince, for that matter. Don't love his matchup against the Wolves, but it's not a bad one. Not a good one either. At the power forward position, that was disorganized, the small forward spot. I realized that, but part of the reason is because talk about Josh Jackson every single time TJ Warren's out. Obviously, you get to look at Josh Jackson. So I try to give you guys a little bit of variety here. At the power forward position, Julius Randle, 8,500. He is 81 on DK, so similarly priced, not necessarily a massive advantage there. Dallas is not good in the front court. We saw Scalabissé lead the team in scoring last night at Sacramento. So you're going to get a whole lot of Julius Randle, 32 to 38 minutes here at home. For him, he's averaged 37 and over a fantasy point per minute in the last five. I mean, all these Lakers average a fantasy point per minute, more or less. And, you know, he's been really, really productive. Against Dallas earlier this year, he had 41 in one spot. And 37 in another. So we know we can attack them in the paint. We saw Kosta Koufos put up a massive line last night. For guys, for bigs here, this is absolutely where we want to attack them. I have no issue going to Randle against Dwight Powell and Nerlens Noel. Doesn't scare me at all. I think that Julius Randle's only issue is his price. He's a little bit expensive, and I think you could comfortably pivot down to Tobias Harris, who is $1,000 cheaper, and feel good about Harris against the Suns, because remember last time he scored 50 points against them, and not unexpectedly, like people had him and he went ham, but he's shown a really nice floor. And that's the most important thing about Tobias Harris, right? The usage has been consistent at about 22 to 23%. He has put up over 15 attempts in pretty much every single game. The minutes have been well above 32 minutes on a regular basis in every single game. He scored 30 real life points and had 12 rebounds, and only on a 21% usage rate and 15 attempts, you know? So like, he is absolutely going to be in play against the Suns. You want to attack the four, no doubt about it. I mean, come on, that's not hard. And I think he will be a popular play and an easy spend down off of Julius Randle, for me. That's the Larry Nance is interesting. I think Taj Gibson could be interesting too here against the Atlanta. We know struggles on the interior. Taj should be able to do plenty of good rebounding against this team. The minutes are bananas. He played really well against Memphis. At 5,700, I still think you're getting a decent price for a guy with a very high floor, so long as the minutes are there. That's that. I think you're paying too much for RHJ and Aaron Gordon, but I would not be surprised if one of those guys goes for 40. I just can't really, I don't have a very good pulse on when they're going to produce. But I do like that game. I would much rather go to my man Vooch Monster. I love the Vooch Monster here in this situation. Vooch had a nice game against the Suns just the other night. He is now 8,700 on FanDuel, and he is 78 on DK. Give me all that Vooch on DK. Rudy Gobert and Vooch, 78 and 77. These are two guys who could easily go for 50 tonight who are underpriced on DraftKings.com, a fantasy website that some of you might use. 1.1 fantasy points per minute. He's had some plus matchups recently. Those plus matchups include games against the Suns, a game against the Bucks. What happened in both of those? 45 and 54 fantasy points. He gets the best matchup on the slate against the Nets. They have struggled mightily with the center. We know that so long as this game is competitive, he will play. Earlier this year, he had a nice fantasy point per minute against them. In October, the second game of the year, he had 55 fantasy points against them and 1.5 fantasy points per minute. I love Vooch. I always like Vooch. He will be relatively popular tonight. I wouldn't be surprised to see him above 25%. But there is variety at the center position, especially when you look at the price on DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan, for some reason on FanDuel, his price drops. Don't get it. Don't know why. Maybe it's a back-to-back. Maybe it's just the way the slate shakes out. But he's 7,984 on DK. Yeah, I mean, obviously I want DJ against the Suns, especially if... Alex Len might be out. Tyson Chandler is out. I don't know how DeAndre Jordan doesn't like get every single rebound. He played 33 minutes last night against Milwaukee. Do you love the back-to-back and then the road back-to-back? Not really, but he has been playing the minutes. I mean, he's not really like going to miss the minutes. He's played the minutes in both of the recent back-to-backs that they've had, and they've had a couple, and he hasn't lost any minutes or production in that split. So, I mean, he's lost a little bit of production, but partially because of matchup. And I just think you have the Suns here. He's a very good price. He's a high floor play. He had 26 minutes against them last time out and scored 38 fantasy points. I see a very similar potential outcome tonight. They will take him off the court, though, if they can. That's the thing they can take him off the court in this situation. They will take him off the court. So you want to back him up maybe with a little bit of value, which is where we're going to go now. Let's go over to the bargain basement and talk a little bit about some of the guys that are below 5,500. And at the point guard position, it all starts with Shabazz Napier. There's zero reason you should not play Shabazz Napier. He is good. Memphis is bad against the point guard. He is going to play 30 minutes. I love it. Shabazz. Give me all the Shabazz Napier, no problem with him. He's pretty obvious. Let's get to some more less obvious plays. I think Spencer Dinwiddie, like 5,500, 5,400, he's starting to get a little bit cheap and he gets a great matchup. You know he's not going to start at the point guard position, but he's going to play 25 minutes, maybe 30 against this Orlando team. They've been terrible against the point guard and we know that he's capable. He's a good scorer. He's a second unit point guard. He's way cheaper than D'Angelo Russell, so I have no issue going to him. But I also don't have a problem going to, kind of sell Shelvin Mack in a similar situation. I don't know that you can necessarily go to Markel Fultz. I think some people will think they're getting cute and going to Markel Fultz. I don't know if you can go to Fultz. Like, let's pump the brakes there, right? I mean, he had a nice game against Denver. If he does it again, then... I mean, you can be early on the Fultz train if you want, I guess. Tyler Ulis is 4K. He will probably play quite a bit against this Clippers team because they're not playing Elfrid Payton. I don't know why. I guess it's just development. stuff. I have no idea. I have no idea what his status is. I don't know if he's, you know, gotten in trouble with Triano, or they decide not to play him when it's not Booker, or they're just in such a tank situation. I have no idea what the status is of him. At the shooting guard position, JJ Redick at 4,800 is fine. Not particularly appealing, especially now with Fultz coming off the bench. But you know you're going to see 25-plus minutes for him. He returned 29 fantasy points against the Knicks last time out. He's going to finish the game. He's going to start the game. He's going to finish the game. And this Knicks team, if this game stays competitive, he should be able to get you over 25 fantasy points. So I think he's a nice type floor type play here. Jamal Crawford should play a little bit against Atlanta. Troy Daniels, they're both the same price. Both of those guys, I would expect them to play some minutes, as well as Damian Lee. So those are the three guys that I think are pretty obvious as far as value that people will go to. They've been going to. Tyrone Wallace is the other guy. Min price versus Phoenix. He's back for the Clippers. Last night was his first game back with the team. If I remember. He's on a two-way, right? Anyway, 13 minutes against Milwaukee last night. He could get a lot more run tonight against Phoenix. But, you know, who knows? He played 36 minutes against them, but he is in a reserve role there. With Milos Teodosic, though, you could see him get a little bit more run, and he played very well last time out. That's that. Small forward. Let's keep our eye on the Evan Turner. Let's keep our eye on the Evan Turner situation. If he is going to be, or Mo Harkless, if Harkless is going to be out, it's a surgery. Last night it was soreness. He's going on to surgery. So Harkless is out, and it's going to be a whole lot of Evan Turner at 3,600. Clear the way. He was fine in 30 minutes last night. Memphis not necessarily good against the wings. I'm okay with Evan Turner here at 3,600. He is very, very inexpensive. Other than that, you know, I don't mind Alan Crabb and Joe Harris. I just don't necessarily have a good beat on how to project which one's going to score. And that's been the hardest part. I mean, I think Alan Crabb would be my preferable here, just because I think he's a more reliable scorer. And Joe Harris had like the best game of his life the other night. At 4,800, he's nice high floor play. I think he's 20 points, but I'm not going to play him in cash. I'll probably play him in more tournament exposure than anything. At the power forward position, my favorite guy is a guy named Montrezl Harrell. 4,800 for Montrezl Harrell. I love him in this situation. He can score like well over a fantasy point per minute. And in plus situations, he can absolutely dominate. I mean, in Portland, he played 20 minutes and had 24 real life points. Like, I don't get it. He had 25 points against Phoenix here last time out in just 21 minutes. I think you get a nice floor of at least 20 fantasy points. He's going to be the one to come on when DJ goes off. So you can kind of maybe play them together. That's an interesting correlation type play there. Jay Crowder revenge game. Anyone interested? Jay Crowder revenge game for sale. 30 minutes in all the last four games. He's a very high floor player. I don't know if it's a revenge game as much as it's like a longing, you know, a longing to return maybe. Although he's with like, I love the Jazz. So maybe he's Luke Kornet. If Kyle Quinn is out, Luke Kornet will play, and he will look like an accountant from the 1960s. I don't know. What is Luke Kornet? A cornet? Isn't that an instrument? Ed Davis probably will play a little bit more against the Pels here tonight. He'll play 20 minutes, but because it's a back-to-back, he'll probably get closer to, you know, 21. We're always above 17, but he's probably closer to 21. Not a great matchup for him, however. That's it at power forward. Jarrell Martin plays a lot, but I don't know if I want that against Portland. At the center position, keep your eye on Brolo. Keep your eye on The Dallas situation. I think Nerlens is going to play. He's 5,900 though, which is like, what? How does that happen? Dwayne Dedman, 5,500 against Minnesota. We saw, there's a reason that, Marc Gasol put up a nice game against him. This is very possible to put it. A tired cat is not going to play defense. So that's just a animal husbandry thing to understand. Tired cats, they're not going to play. Tristan Thompson, man, he's going to have to play, right? If you're not going to, I don't think we're going to get Kevin Love. Let me check to see if we've got the Kevin Love news. MKG, uncertain. Okay, Kyle O'Quinn is ruled out. Got it. Okay, Kyle O'Quinn is ruled out. That's it. That's all we got. We don't have Kevin Love news. But you're going to get a whole lot of Tristan Thompson, as well as Mike Muscala. Well, although I think John Collins is going to play. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Keep your eye on the Dallas situation. If we know who's sitting and who's playing, that'll help you decide with some of the Dallas guys as well. All right, let's build a lineup here. I'm going to start at the power forward position where I kind of honestly want to play two Clippers, right? Why not? Harrison Harrell, attorneys at law. At small forward, I'm going to play LeBron, and I could play Min Price, Evan Turner. I'm also going to play Shabazz. Go ahead with your Baz self. You don't have to say that when you roster him. I have 7K per remaining. So let's look for a little bit of, you're going to have to play some of these Atlanta guys. Tyler Dorsey or Damian Lee? Which one would you rather have? Not that interested in either. Let's see. Who's the point guard here? It's Isaiah Taylor, isn't it? Yeah. Let's go to Isaiah Taylor. He's shown a little bit of a ceiling lately. Let's go to Isaiah Taylor at the point guard position. So I have two Min Price point guards. And now I have 8K remaining for two shooting guards and a center. So this is pretty straightforward. I think I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to CJ and Lou. And now I have 8,900 left at the center position, which leads me to Rudy Gobert or Nikola Vucevic. That is good. I'm okay with this. I think this is a little bit high-low, but I like it, and I think it makes sense to do this. I have three Min Price players, and everybody else is, except for Montrezl Harrell. So Rudy Gobert at the center position, Montrezl Harrell, and Tobias Harris. So Harrell and Harris, LeBron, Evan Turner, Lou Williams, CJ McCollum, Isaiah Taylor, and Shabazz Napier. That is where I'm at for tonight. Could change. Definitely probably will change, actually, but I'll fool around with it. Guys, good luck. Check out the podcast feed if you want to see some good MLB content, some PGA content from our man Mike. Go ahead and listen in on those. Let him know that you appreciate him at Roto1 on Twitter. And I will be back tomorrow, as I am every day. See ya.